Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm excited for our guest this segment. A little outside the box, but we like to do that. And I always enjoy finding other females who love football. And my next guest comes from NFL royalty, a football family. More than a dozen relatives have played in the NFL, and Jennifer Matthews has been on the sidelines for a good portion of that. And she's also involved in football in her own right, Sirius XM host, an NFL model. And so it's really cool to have Jennifer Matthews join us now from Los Angeles. And Jen, for people who don't know, your dad, Clay Matthews Jr., played in the NFL for a long time. Most of his seasons were spent with the Cleveland Browns. Of course, Clay Matthews III, your brother, has been on this show before and recently wrapped up his own NFL career. So growing up in the family that you did, thinking you were going to do something that didn't involve football for at least part of your life, was that even an option for you?
That's so funny because people ask me that all the time. And when I first graduated college, I went to USC, to Southern Cal, like my parents had done, and a lot of our family members had done. And everyone's like, well, you should probably go into broadcasting because you're in this family. Your knowledge of the game is at such a level. You have this unique perspective. And I think for me, for a while, I was so determined to kind of create my own path and stand on my own two feet that I kind of fought going into the world of sports as far as a career for so long. And then I got to a point where I'm like, okay, I've accomplished, you know, all of these things on my own. I had this solid career, but now I want to talk about sports and I want to give insight into my world and share stories and leverage my connections and do all these amazing things. So then at that point, it felt right for me to go into it. But there was never any pressure. I mean, never. From my family, it was kind of like just, you know, my dad always said, just work hard, find something you're passionate about, you know, and live a life of integrity, and we'll support you whatever you want to do.
I feel like that's great advice no matter what industry you're into.
Right.
But what was it like, Jennifer, growing up with a dad who played in the NFL and a family that kind of turned that into the family business?
Yeah, you know what? On one hand, I'm like, I don't know any differently. So I have friends who are like, what was that lifestyle like? Or what is it like to have a famous dad or a famous brother or a famous uncle? And it's like, I didn't know any differently, right? So I was used to like getting on the school bus on Friday mornings and people being like, oh my gosh, my mom, you know, heard your dad on the radio, or she was talking about this, or my dad said this and he did that, you know, and so that was kind of just normal to me. And then it kind of continued because then, you know, my dad played 19 years, my uncle played 19 years, and there was only a few short years where I didn't have a family member in the league. And then my brother Clay was drafted in 09. So it was really kind of like, I've just never known life without it. For me, like some of my best memories are centered around football. It's like when I think of like growing up and, you know, on our way to the games, all five of us kids would pile in my mom's car and we'd blast the Rolling Stones and we'd drive down there and we'd be wearing my dad's jersey. And it's an indescribable feeling when like your dad's name is announced and the stands go just wild. You know, there's just such a sense of pride and a sense of nervousness. You know, it's a physical, violent game, and you know, you never want anything to happen. So all sorts of feelings, but that adrenaline and the excitement, or when he would make a big play or get a sack, or you know, like when he intercepted Jim Kelly on the goal line, you know, in that big game, it was those kind of things like I will remember for the rest of my life, you know, just being his daughter.
I have to ask, though, because my brother and I both played basketball, and I was really competitive. I loved playing, but I was a nervous wreck when I watched my brother play. So did it change at all when your brother got into the league? Like, what was it like to watch him then?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because it is. When you're playing, you can affect the outcome, and you're not as worried about yourself. My dad says that even about watching my brother. He's like, oh, my gosh, there is a level of torture where you're just, like, sick to your stomach. But for me, I think, you know, the first part of my dad's career, I was so young that it's like you don't think about, like, oh, there's the potential that he could get seriously hurt, or you just don't think about those things as a kid. You're kind of like, you think the world is just wonderful and he's untouchable and he's my dad and he's this big, strong man, so you don't think about that. But towards the latter part of his career, as I started to, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, I would get really nervous at the games. And then, yes, by the time Clay, you know, was drafted and went into the league, and then my youngest brother Casey was drafted and went into the league, there is definitely an element during the games where you're kind of like, okay, my heart's going to beat out of my chest. I kind of feel like I can't breathe. And if anyone hurts my brother, so help me. You know, you're like the protective sister kind of just sets in. And so really, at the end of every game, it's like priority number one is that they walk off the field healthy and safe and in one piece, you know? And then after that, it's like the win and then the individual accolade. That's all great. But when you are a family member, that is the ultimate prayer and hope and wish for every game. So yes, there's definitely an element of like crazy nerves.
Jennifer Matthews with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I'm so excited to hear her perspective because she comes from an NFL family, and many of our listeners know Clay Matthews Jr., who was your dad, and then, of course, Clay Matthews III, who's been on the show before, talking about his time in the NFL. You are always on social media. I see it a lot. Kind of stumping for your dad to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If there's someone who doesn't know his career, Jennifer, what would you say about why your dad deserves to be inducted?
Yeah, you know, this is something I'm very passionate about, and I'm sure people are like, well, of course, you're his daughter. But really quick backstory, I went to him and I said, Dad, look, I have looked at your stats, and I've been comparing them to current Hall of Fame linebackers, and they are comparable, if not better, and you deserve to be in there, but you're such a humble guy, and some time has passed since you retired, and I just feel like people are forgetting about the relevancy of your career. And he said, Jennifer, I don't need any attention. That's not why I played. I played for the love of the game. I really don't need it. And I said, okay, you know, kind of yes, sir, and I kind of go back. And then the next day I thought about it. I'm like, no. I said to him, Dad, I'm sorry, but I'm going to willingly disobey you, and I am going to spearhead this to create awareness. Like, your career speaks for itself, but I just want to kind of create the awareness. So when you look at his stats, it's like 278 games played. That's number one for a linebacker in NFL history. 248 starts at linebacker, number one in NFL history. 1,561 tackles, that's number three in NFL history. And then you look at the stats, like as far as like the sacks, some of the other things. It's like, okay, his first 3 years in the league, sacks weren't even counted as an official stat. So I believe he had 69.5 total. But again, those first 3 years didn't count. So I went to the Browns and I said, I need your stats from those 3 years because the NFL wasn't monitoring them. So then that took it up to 83.5. And I looked into his career more and I thought, my gosh, his first 10 years in the league, he was asked to drop back into coverage. He wasn't pass rushing, which is what he would have preferred. But he just said, look, I'm a team player. I did what I was asked to do. And because he was so good at dropping into coverage, he ended up doing that a lot. But once they kind of finally let him rush, they were like, wait a second, he's got a gift here. And you see some of that in my brother too, obviously. People are like, oh, okay, that little burst and the bull rush and all those things, that's like Big Clay in there. And so we call my dad, not me, but you know, people call him Big Clay and my brother is Little Clay. He's like 6'4" and massive. He's not little, but that's just how it goes. But yeah, so when I just was looking at his stats, I just kind of thought, this is ridiculous. So I just started this grassroots campaign. I was new to Twitter. I didn't know what I was doing. And I just kind of put it up there. And it kind of just steamrolled and created all this traction. And all of a sudden, some big people in the media and Hall of Fame voters were reaching out going, I can't believe he's not in. You know, and like last year when he was put in the Browns Ring of Honor, my dad and I are walking down to the field. And Al Michaels comes past us because it was a Sunday night game against the Rams, which my brother was on that team. I had coordinated that game purposely. And we're walking by, and I said, Al, I said, how ridiculous is it that my dad is not in the Hall of Fame? He goes, that is so so stupid. You know, like, this is ridiculous. And so all these people I've talked to, and Warren Moon, and, you know, Bill Cower, and Anthony Munoz, and Jim Kelly, and John Elliott, like, all of these big names, you know, have come forth and said, listen, I will absolutely put my support out there for him. He's incredible, and he's highly uncomfortable, Amy, with any attention.
Aww.
And if you saw any of the speech he gave at the Ring of Honor, he was basically saying, I can't accept any attention on my own. Like, I'm only as good as, like, I stood on the shoulders of my teammates, and they are why I'm here. And so he's just such a humble man. So the whole process is uncomfortable for him. But when he does get in Canton, I'm like, Browns fans are going to take over the Hall of Fame in Canton, and it is going to be one big party, and I cannot wait. I'm like, I will have this party planned, and we will be... It will go all night long.
I have to tell you, I mean, obviously remember your dad playing, but didn't realize that he played until he was 40. And that's a different era in football. And, of course, the physical position that he played. We're not talking about a quarterback who doesn't get hit, you know, in today's NFL. I mean, that durability and to be able to play for that long, that alone to me seems like a huge mark for him to get into Canton. Yes.
I know. And you think about, like, it's not like he was a long snapper. I'm like, actually, that'd be like a good, you know, when they were designated long snapper, I'm like, that's a position you want to be in. You don't take much of a hit. Like, you just, that's the way to go. It's not like he was a, you know, a kicker. He was a physical, you know, he was a linebacker. And then you look at my uncle, played 19 seasons as an offensive lineman. I mean, you're taking a beating in a different way. So, they always joke that they were just given bodies that could take a beating. And when Clay, my brother, first got in the league, he was like, oh, no way am I doing this for 19 years. Like, I love this game, but, Dad, how did you physically survive? And this is back when, like, you know, training camp was full contact every day. There were no, like, walkthroughs with shells and pads. It was like they didn't protect players like they do now, you know, where you're like, okay, you can only hit on these days. And this, they had 2-3-a-days. And so I guess they could just take a beating. And, you know, my brother Clay has played 11 seasons at this point and still feels very good. So apparently he got some of those genetics.
Jennifer Matthews with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio from Southern California. You've had an opportunity to do a couple of fun things with the NFL overall. And one of the things that I love about hosting a radio show and talking so much football is that female fans come out of the woodwork. I think they feel more comfortable talking football with a woman or listening to a woman talk football sometimes. They feel like there's somebody else out there that's like them. And I've really seen the NFL target female fans more often. And you had a chance to work with the, you know, the apparel campaign to be part of that and then go across the country. How often do you come across female fans who just love the NFL?
You know what? I have seen, like, you know, obviously I've been around the game my entire life. I have seen every year an increase in the number of female fans. I think part of that is attributed to fantasy football, because I think a lot of people, if they didn't grow up watching it or they didn't have a team they were invested in, they had a hard time kind of getting on board. Like, I don't really have a dog in the fight. Who do I root for? But through fantasy football, I think a lot of women came on board and it was a competitive outlet. And then they're like, oh, okay, I'm invested in this player and on this team and this player on this team. And then I just think, you know, women's knowledge of the game is, I mean, it's, I don't think enough respect is given there, but there are a lot of extremely knowledgeable, you being one of them, you know, women who know the game, who love the game, who are passionate about the game, and, you know, who want to be around it and be part of it and have a career around it. And I think that is absolutely incredible. And so I'm so happy we got connected, because yes, I always love getting connected with other women in the world of sports. And yes, I was part of the NFL apparel campaign. So we did that photo shoot in the streets of Harlem. This is,
wow.
Gosh, this is probably about 6 years ago. And of course, it was like Erin Heatherton, this Victoria's Secret supermodel, Jordan Sparks, Molly Quarum Rose, who's, you know, on ESPN, and me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm like the non-celebrity here. Like, I'm totally out of my element. Like, these people walk the runway for a living, and I'm just going to, you know, fake it till I make it. But it was so fun. And then I traveled the country kind of doing appearances and media and all of that. And I think it was just another way to try to engage the female fan base. And like I said, they are knowledgeable. They know what they're talking about. And it's an awesome thing when, you know, when I meet other women like that, I'm like, oh, you are my people.
Yes.
Soul sisters.
Absolutely. So outside of football then, Jennifer Matthews, what do you do? Who are you when it's not football?
Yeah, so, right? It's like, do you do anything else besides, yes, I do. I do have hobbies outside of the sports world. But yeah, so I had a TV career in football in covering the NFL, and I had been on NFL Network and Fox Sports and done stuff for the Packers. And then for the last 2 years, I was a radio host on Sirius XM, covered fantasy football for them. So I do play fantasy. But outside of sports, I am insanely passionate about serving and giving back. So I have traveled the world and worked in orphanages, in prisons, with the special needs community, with at-risk youth, with children with cancer, with boys with muscular dystrophy called Duchenne muscular dystrophy. I just am incredibly passionate about serving. And so I've been to the Congo and Uganda, South Africa, Haiti, Mexico. I went and worked with the deaf community and helped deliver hearing aids so kids could hear for the first time, just wow. All sorts of things. So that is my, my heartbeat, and is just traveling the world and really kind of serving those who are marginalized and overlooked. And I think I have been extremely blessed in my life, and I've been given, a big platform, both through my family and through what I've accomplished. And if I can leverage that in any way to serve or encourage, I feel like that's ultimately my main purpose for being on this earth. So that's when I feel most alive. And I am just dying this year with COVID. My travel's been limited.
I feel the same way. I'm really looking forward to the point at which borders are open and people can move about again, because the same way, miss seeing people outside of the United States that I know are desperate for visits and desperate for some help. So I'm with
you
there.
It's funny. I went to Southeast Asia. I barely got out before COVID. Like, I got home February 29th. I went to Thailand and Bali. Had the best time. It was like a dream trip, because when I'm not working, I'm traveling. And so I currently am working for an amazing organization. We serve incarcerated men and women and then at-risk youth, so the children of the incarcerated. And so I've been able to leverage all of my sports connections to bring players and coaches into prison, to talk to these men and women, and then also to really serve the children of the incarcerated, many of whom are now without a parent or without a grandparent or something. And so we make sure that they are taken care of, and they are given tools and resources and Christmas gifts, and we hold sports camps where, I bring a lot of the pro players and coaches, and they kind of really just pour into these kids. So that's been incredibly rewarding. And then I also just do stuff with Special Olympics and Make-A-Wish, and I love working with old people. I have all these causes, and that's there's not enough hours in the day sometimes, because I just want to travel and help people. So yes, let's pray that the world opens up again soon, and you and I can be back on some airplanes.
There we go. So see, the Matthews family is not just about football, and you got to run hard to keep up with Jennifer. So you can find her on Twitter at JenMatthews57, and does a little bit about what she does. Lots of photos there too. It's so great to catch up with you. We're definitely going to do this again. Like when Dad does get into the Hall of Fame,
that'll
be a great celebration.
I would love to, and it's been such a pleasure to connect with you. You're so fun, and thank you so much for having me on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.